Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night, January 18th, 2017, and you are listening to Three Geeks Senate. The Senate is now in session. Hi, my name is Brian J. Cano, and tonight, who's with us?
My name is Paul Bradford.
And I'm Robert Puxar.
Did you screw up Senate? It sounded awfully like you just went, Senate?
Senate? Hey, I'm feeling good over here. Maybe
okay.
maybe something just happened that just, you know, elevated me to another stratosphere. But
I was getting ready to say taken to a new stratosphere. Thank you for using that.
Vocabulary words here on 3D Senate. And yes. I think tonight, guys, I think we owe our listeners, I guess, what we'll call a Senate appointment. This is echoing current events, but we need to kind of let people know how we got our geek on, where it first came from, right? You know, they know us from other venues and other shows and other places, but there's definitely an entire other side to all three of us that maybe not everyone knows the origin of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm down with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, an episode about me, I'm totally down. Yeah, so, that's my best topic, actually.
So how do we get into this? Like, all right, Paul, what was the first movie you remember seeing, or even like the first one that really resonated with you that you were like, whoa, this is geek.
Wow. First movie. Well, the first thing I ever saw in the cinema was The Highlander.
Dude, I literally just watched that today on TV.
Right?
Well, I haven't seen that in a long time.
If you do the math, obviously, when Highlander came out and how old I was, obviously,
1985.
Right, and I wasn't supposed to be able to see it, okay? Obviously, I was seven at the time. But my dad had grown up with his best friend at school. His best friend's parents actually inherited a hotel, restaurant, and cinema in Belgium. And we would go and stay with them during the summer holidays and stuff. And I just so happened, like, the first time I went to the cinema, I was in the balcony watching Highlander with subtitles. It was in English, the French subtitles, I didn't. But I also got given a whole roll of these Ghostbuster stickers. But Ghostbusters must have been pretty, like, the year before or very soon around the same... Mm-hmm. Right, so yeah, so it must have been around the same time because I had this. It was like a big, you know, a reel of stickers, which ended up going all over anything I owned.
Nice.
I just kept putting Ghostbusters stickers anyway. But yeah, that was the first movie I think I ever actually saw. Very soon after, I think it was Howard the Duck.
Oh my God! Wow.
Good Lord.
Right.
I tried to watch it recently. I'm like, you know, let me give this a chance. It's got a bad reputation. And I think it's well deserved.
but no. See, that's the thing, though. At the time, it was great. And this is the thing about all these old movies. I grew up watching a lot of these old movies, like yourselves. I mean, we did the Logan's Run and Rollerball, things like that. And I loved those movies back then. But I went to go back and watch them, and they were awful.
Oh yeah,
that's the problem. A lot of them don't hold up.
They don't.
Right.
And that's the thing.
So
like, you talk about Howard the Duck. I remember seeing Howard the Duck. I enjoyed Howard the Duck as a kid. I haven't seen that in at least, God, it's been at least 15 years since the last time I saw it. It had to have been on TV or something like that. I guarantee that if I saw it now, I would be like, oh, boy.
I won't watch it now because I remember it being kind of stupid. Mm. But I remember there was a lot of... sexual innuendo. I remember a lot of innuendo.
I mean, you had
as a kid, I loved it.
Leah Thompson from Back to the Future.
Was it Leah Thompson?
Yep.
Okay. For some reason, in my head, I had Courtney Cox.
And wasn't Christopher Lloyd in it too?
Many times in my head, I've had Courtney Cox.
I don't know.
Or was that Matt Frewer?
No. It was the guy from. Oh my God! Who else was he in? He was
who
in
else?
Beetlejuice.
Who's
the dad? Wasn't he the dad in Beetlejuice? Who's the dad in Beetlejuice?
I know who you're talking
about.
Oh,
yes. There it is then. The guy who later got convicted, I believe, of child pornography.
Child molestation. Yes.
He was also the principal in Ferris Bueller.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What was that?
I'm,
hang on a minute. No, it's,
I
it's
am
on the...
being right now.
Oh, okay.
Tim Robbins was in Howard the Duck.
Was he?
Jeffrey Jones.
Jeffrey Jones, yes.
Jeffrey Jones, who was also the emperor in Amadeus.
Amadeus.
I've only seen that movie once, and it was not that long ago, and it didn't stick in my brain.
I love Amadeus.
It was good. Oh my god, I'm having such brain farts today.
I mean, F. Murray Abraham, yeah. Tom Hulce, the fact that I could remember these actors' names, I'm very coherent today.
Yeah, you are. You're saving us on this point. My goodness. Jeez, I'm usually very good with this. As a kid, I grew up, and there was a lot of... Well, as a kid, I grew up. That's pretty obvious.
Good job. Congratulations, you made it to adult.
I remember being in junior school, and I think, what would you call that? It's not high school.
Junior high, okay. Or middle school.
Yeah.
Oh, it could have been.
Eighth grade?
I remember people talking about this actor's name, who was this guy, and I was like, how do you remember that stuff? I didn't listen to any of the music that was there, because I grew up listening to Queen and ELO that my dad would listen to. So I wasn't into popular culture. I didn't really understand any of it, but I knew, you know, there was the odd one or two movies that I would watch. But as I've gotten older and more into this stuff, the more I've started to retain a lot of random information, in such that I can listen to a song from 20 years ago that I haven't heard, and I still know the lyrics.
And you probably remember the scene that was played over it. It takes you back to that scene.
Right.
You know exactly when it was played, and it brings it all back. That's the great thing about music.
Take On Me. Aha. Uh-huh. Everyone remembers the sketchy video, the drawings and stuff. It's brilliant. You know, but anyway, what were we talking about?
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
It started out as Howard the Duck.
Don't watch Howard the Duck.
This is the most press Howard the Duck has gotten probably since 1986.
Since Guardians of the Galaxy.
End of Guardians of the Galaxy, he actually spawned off a new comic series, and that came out within the past couple of years. So he has actually resurged. He wasn't originally a Marvel comic book character.
Yeah. He was right at the end. He was one of the collectors' collection.
You let him lick your face?
Yep.
Gross.
So who knows where that's going to go? Cause,
is a lot different, and it's not the practical effect that they had in the original movie. But it did, like I said, it did spawn off a more of a bringing to the forefront of pop culture with him.
I don't know about you, but I could imagine Howard Stern being Howard the Duck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine that voice and everything about Howard Stern. I could just imagine Howard the Duck. And then I might, you know, then they may make the new movie and it might be great. But what was yours, Rob? What was your first movie?
Ooh. Okay, so I was brought up as a, Disney kid. You know, I was a lot of the Disney cartoons, and, you know, that's where I still have a love for Disney and all of that stuff.
Absolutely.
So I remember going to the theater, and I talked about this not long ago with my dad. He had brought it up, I think, around Christmas time. We were kind of talking about it, my brother and sisters and stuff like that. And, you know, seeing the original, it was not really the original at the time. It was a replay at the theaters, because some of those came out in the 60s and earlier than that. But seeing a lot of the Disney movies in the theater, I remember seeing those. But the biggest one that sticks out of my head, as far as the movies that kind of form you and kind of really, really stick with you, is I remember the cartoons, and I remember seeing all those, but, you know, I can still remember seeing the original Star Wars in the theater as a kid.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The scene that I can actually play, and it plays over every time I think about seeing A New Hope, is the scene where the Jawas blast R2 in the canyon. I can see that plain as day right now, sitting in the theater from my perspective as a kid, seeing that scene. I don't know why that scene stuck with me so clear and vividly, but the rest of the movie I remember seeing, but that scene right there plays over for me.
You know what's funny? You went from a Disney reference, I love Disney movies, and Disney didn't own Star Wars back then, so it's an interesting segue you just brought over.
Yeah, and it is interesting, but I mean, it's like, as far as the movies go and stuff like that, I mean, I grew up on, Disney. I grew up on Universal Monsters. I grew up on Godzilla. I grew up on, the stop motion things, Sinbad and the Sinbad and the Seven Voyages. you know, Ray Harryhausen, you know, type stuff.
Oh, nice,
And that stuff, I still love it. I mean, as campy and corny as it is, I can watch that and still be taken back, you know.
See, I appreciate that more now, I think.
Yeah, because of the amount of time that went into creating those things.
Right. I mean, I would only ever watch one of those things, like the stop motion thing. Mm-hmm. Wait, there was a movie. Oh, God, it was called... oh, my God. It was... Dragons, no.
Clash of the Titans?
No.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to have to come back to this one because... Rage War. It was called Rage War.
Rage War?
Never heard of that.
Right. It was called Rage War. Okay, I think it was called something else in America, but in the UK it was called Rage War. And it's about a guy who his computer was linked to his glasses. So he would, like, the first scene, I think you see him jogging, goes to an ATM, he clicks on his glasses, it communicates with the ATM and it gets his money from his bank account, and then he goes home. Well, it's about how I guess the devil then challenges him to various different tasks, and he zaps him into different dimensions in order for him to defeat the objective or figure out how to get out of it and stuff to save his girlfriend, who has been kidnapped by the devil. And they make his computer ends up on his arm. Like, he's like, he can communicate via his arm. It's like Leela, all right, from Futurama. You know, everything's on the arm. It's actually it's a Pip Boy. That's what he had, is a Pip Boy. But it's a very 80s, but it had that stop motion to it. And that was pretty much the first time I think I ever really experienced stop motion. Now, the fact that the main character, the hero in the movie, was called Paul Bradford had nothing to do with the fact that I loved that movie.
How convenient.
But yeah, ultimately, yeah, it was great. Hearing my name on that movie was fantastic. But anyway, but that was a great, great movie. And I don't know if it's going to be one of those that holds up. I think it could. But if you get the chance to check out a retro 80s old movie that's probably got some boobs in the front of it, because they all did. Every movie, that and there's definitely – there's got to be some scene somewhere where there's that aerobics theater. They did that big open window, some going down the street, and there's all these aerobics people going on. I think they did the same with Terminator. Didn't Sarah Connor start off in an aerobics thing when you first see her or something? Anyway, but ultimately, check it out. If you can check out Rage War, I think I will have to Google, see what the American name of it was. But that's a movie.
I think the American name of it was "Don't See This."
I'm gonna kick your ass. No, it was really good. It was.
I'm not giving you. I got to give you a little bit of shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna try and find out what this is called now.
Do that.
Is it? I'm curious.
That's a mystery. That's a mystery that needs to be solved. So
that might be MSTK 3000 type movie.
Totally.
What? Could you imagine if the three of us did that? We should actually do that now. It'd be great, because I'll be just saying how awesome this bit is, and there's the boobs, and Paul Bradford, great
there's
name.
Paul Bradford. Oh, Paul
there's
Bradford.
Paul Bradford. Paul Bradford again.
Can we fast forward past that part where Paul Bradford's up on the screen? All right, move on.
Oh, my God. It was about the same sort of time as Electric Dreams. Do you remember that one?
Electric Dreams?
Dude, what kind of movies do you all have over there?
No, this is all American. Like, Electric Dreams is the one where... the computer comes to life and falls in love with a woman.
That one has Virginia Madsen in it. Yes.
Right.
No,
remember
I don't
Electric?
Know this movie.
The soundtrack was like, it wasn't Human League. It wasn't Human League, but it was one of the guys from Human League who did the Together in Electric Dreams. The theme song was amazing.
Wow, I forgot about that one completely.
Dude, retro, it's so...
Together
it was called
in Electric Dreams, yes.
Yeah. Right, 1984.
I don't know this.
Right. So Rage War... It's one word, but it's actually called The Dungeon Master in America.
The Dungeon Master, okay.
Yeah, it came out in 1984, okay? It's Jeffrey Byron, actually, is the main guy.
Okay.
And he was in, wasn't he in a Star Trek? Jeffrey Byron, why does that name...
You're probably thinking of Jeffrey Combs, who is played Wayoon in Deep Space Nine.
I'm gonna... You know what?
God or Jeffrey Hunter, IMDb. Who played Christopher Pike.
Maybe.
Or... I could think of more Jeffs, but I'll let you figure it out.
How many Jeffs are in Star Trek?
Every Jeff has a red shirt.
Jeff Trek.
Jeff Trek, there it is. Why does Jeffrey Byron sound so familiar from other?
I don't know.
Anyway, go on. Anyway, let's get on with, carry on with your thing, because I've just completely hijacked everybody's.
Bio. What are you talking about? See, that's fine.
There's so many of those.
We just took a road. Now we got a U-turn and
those
come
are
back.
Deep cut '80s movies. Like I remember this movie. Like all right, when I was a kid, and I, like when we first got HBO, that was this amazing thing. Wow, we got all these movies, and there was movies. I'll just start firing off of them like that. I loved as a kid. Haven't seen since. They probably wouldn't hold up. I'm talking. Your Hunter from the Future, Super Fuzz.
Yes, I do know that one.
Super Fuzz.
Most of these were like Norwegian or Canadian movies.
Yeah,
probably the closest one that I remember.
He was in Star Trek.
What Jeffrey Byron?
Right, Jeffrey Byron was in Star. He was. I'm pretty sure he was at the he was the test administrator. The Maru. Oh God, my brain farts today are just horrible. Where Kirk is taking the test and he's biting on his apple.
The Kobayashi Maru.
Right.
Okay, the recent Star Trek.
Yeah, brand new, like the 2009 one.
Gotcha.
Okay, and when he's doing the Kobayashi Maru, there's the instructor there, and I remember looking at him going, I think I recognize that guy, and that face is very familiar, and that's who it is. That's the guy who plays Paul Bradford.
I hate that when you see somebody's face or you hear like a piece of a, you know, I hear somebody's voice and a certain inflection and you're like, I know this voice, I know this face. And then for me personally, that just plays on repeat until I figure it the hell out.
It's annoying, isn't it? And you try to do your best to recall it before having to check IMDb.
I'm convinced.
Oh yeah,
I
he said,
know
oh, don't tell me.
I just can't pull it out of my head, and it'll play almost like a tape in my. It's like, and I'll keep cycling through different voices trying to match it up.
Well, Paul, you and I are constantly doing this when we get together. It's like, oh, what's his name? No, don't check. Oh, I'm gonna get it.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
It's almost like a test. It's a test because I'm convinced I have the answer, and I don't need assistance from the internet, and that's the problem.
Oh no! Wait a minute. Now hang on a second.
Let's not get into this.
No. We're bringing it.
I gotta go.
I do recall. A wager being made in Paul's car. Now, I forget what the parameters were.
Okay, here it is.
It was
Archer. It was Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, it was Bob's Burgers. I said, but it's the guy that does the Archer's voice.
He was Gene.
Okay. That one right there, I thought I was right.
So adamant, yeah.
I was adamant because I was like,
What was it?
I know surely I'm wrong here because they're both against me now. And I was like, oh, damn, I fucked up.
So wait a minute. Yeah. What was it, Paul?
Okay, so we were in the car. We were talking about how the person who voices Bob's Burgers, Bob from Bob's Burgers, also voiced Archer. And then Rob says, no.
No.
I think you're fine. He actually voices Gene. I was like, no. He voices Bob. He's like, no, it's not. And he's like, yes, it is. Do you want to put money on it? He's like, yes, I do.
Double down. I'm in on this. H. John Benjamin. I remember this.
I owe you both a drink. I'll be honest about that. I need to pay up on that. Because here's the thing. I knew Eugene Merman. He's a comedian. And I knew that he did a voice in that show. If you listen to his voice and the guy that does Archer's voice, to the degree in Bob's Burgers are similar. And I knew he was in that. I wasn't wrong. The guy was still in the show.
You're changing the perimeters now.
Hold on. This is the way that it went in my brain. I'm explaining myself. I admit I was wrong. I'm not going to lie. I know I was wrong. And I fully admit that to the public right now. I fucked up. But here's the thing. Hold on. My AC kicked on. So as soon as as soon as it started to go south, I realized that I needed to just play it harder and hopefully I could pull out.
Phrasing? You were so in. Yeah.
Are we still doing phrasing?
I was in so deep with that. I was like, No, I'm convinced.
Again, phrasing? I got something for this.
Right.
Hang on a second.
All right. So, that's the thing. I realized that I screwed up. And But he was still the character. He's just the kid. He's the young. Right. He's the.
There was an episode of Family Guy, I think it was. Yeah, it was Family Guy. I was watching Family Guy, and they were doing some sort of comedic show and everything. And I guess the guy who does Archer and who does Bob's from Bob's Burgers
H. John
also
Benjamin.
does Yeah, who he also does a voice in Family Guy.
He's the clerk at the convenience store.
Right. So he then goes up on stage and then he goes, "This is my impression of Bob from Bob's Burgers. Hi, I'm Bob. I'm from Bob's Burgers." And he says, "And this is my impression of Archer from the show Archer. Hi, I'm Archer." He says, "This is Bob from Bob's Burgers meeting Archer from Archer." He goes, "Hi, Archer. Hi, Bob." And it's just because it's all the same voice. It's brilliant. And they did the same thing. Who did that? Oh, Futurama did that with Bender, because Bender is also the voice of Jake from Adventure Time.
Yep, yes.
And as Bender was coming down some stairs, they had... And he had Fry and Jake like chained up to like some dungeon wall. Bender comes down. You hear him go, "What time is it?" And he says, "Time to shut the hell up." And he carries on walking. And it's brilliant because it was the same voice. I didn't get that joke because I've never seen Adventure Time.
That's the kind of clever humor that Futurama had that I loved about it. And I was so sad when it got canceled because, like, you know, hey, we all came up on The Simpsons and you like The Simpsons, but I haven't watched it in 20 years and I kind of didn't care about it, but Futurama, I wanted to stick around.
Yeah. Good news, everyone! Bad news, we've been canceled.
Yeah.
Why not Zoidberg?
Why not Zoidberg?
I watch, for the past month or so, Netflix, I turn on Futurama as I'm going to sleep.
Oh, the butter in my pocket is melting.
I don't know. I missed that one. Sorry.
Well, there are a lot of them, so it's... Yes.
It's like, that's the thing. It's like, as I'm watching, as I'm going to sleep, it doesn't always stick in the brain because I'm dozing
that's
off.
That's true. Well, the thing is, though, I think I did a test the other day. You know, you get those Facebook tests. You know, who said it? Was it Fry or Zoidberg? And it's actually really quite funny. I think I scored like 7 out of 10 on that one because... you'll be surprised with just how much Fry really does say stuff that Zoidberg would say, but never mind. Brian, what was your first movie?
My first movie, and again, I was only 3 when I saw it, so there wasn't a lot of retention, but my parents were... They were that couple that brought a baby to the movie theater, but this was the 70s, so...
It's okay. Yeah. It's fine.
So they were smoking.
Like,
and
where were they going to leave me? Right. So it was Star Wars. I remember the Fox fanfare, and I remember mostly impressions. I remember it being very big, and I remember, you know, a lot of the music. So that by the time Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980, I was 6.
Right.
And I remember that clearly because... when the Wampa jumped out to attack Luke, scared the crap out of me, and I hid under my chair. So sticky theater floor plus Wampa attack equals scarred for life.
Yeah, that was slightly terrifying. I remember that too.
Oh, man.
I was in kindergarten at the time so I was like 5. So I mean, we're not that far off in age, so it was about the same for us. But I remember seeing that, and it
the Kenner toys.
Me.
Dude, to come out, and I used to live in an apartment building, and there was 2 20-story apartment buildings that faced each other, and in the middle was kind of the playground area, and we had this huge blizzard, literally, you know, like feet and feet of snow, and then once everything was like walkways were dug out, you'd have these trenches that were a good 4 or 5 feet high of snow.
Wow.
So to me as a kid, I'm on Hoth.
I'm
running around and I'm playing with my action figures in the snow. And I remember I took my Luke in Hoth gear and I buried him in the snow. And I'm like, the Wampa's got him. And I'm burying all my guys. And then I kind of forget where I buried them. So here I am outside digging holes, trying to find my Luke Skywalker action figure. I never did. I'm like, all right, I'll wait for the snow to melt. Like, you know,
nothing was more devastating.
A week later,
than losing a Star Wars figure.
Exactly,
at
and
that
no
time.
Figure was there. So some kid in the building found a Luke, and I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get
because
you
here's the thing. At that time, we took them out and played with them.
Oh yeah.
I'm telling you, the thing I wanted the most when Empire came out, since we kind of deviated onto Empire a little bit, AT-AT. The AT-AT Walker. I'm telling you, that was the thing that I wanted the most, and
that's
I remember.
So cool.
And I still have it. I still have it. I break it out on rare occasions, but I still have it. And it's the thing is, like, that was the pinnacle for me at that time. I remember in kindergarten, they were like, "What do you want for Christmas the most?" And we had to draw it and we had to write it. AT-AT, that was my thing. And God, I still... It's
See, I never had the original one, but I did get the reissues when the toys came back out in the 90s, and I made sure I bought five of them because there were five in the Assault on Hoth.
Yeah,
so I had to be precise.
Good job.
So can I assume then, as you guys growing up, both of you's, like Star Wars... I mean, Star Wars was big for me, but Star Wars, really, I only ever saw it at Christmas when it was on TV. We didn't have, you know, obviously... The thing that obviously I think people remember, certainly people from our generation will remember, is that we didn't have quite the access to movies as we have now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I think I had a recording of Star Wars that we recorded off the television. So I would watch it then and wear it out. So we'd have to wait till next Christmas to watch it again. You know, and that's also how I ended up watching all my James Bonds and stuff like that. But anyway, but most of the time I would watch stuff on TV because we didn't go to the cinema really very much and stuff. We didn't. I didn't even know what fast food was until I came to America when I was like 10. You know,
right.
Yeah. But ultimately, like, so you two have, you both reasonably same age, and so you know Star Wars was your thing. You went to the cinema, you saw Star Wars. I didn't get that chance. I didn't get the chance to see Ghostbusters in the cinema.
Ooh!
Until a couple of years ago, when they actually released it again for the anniversary, they put it on, and I was like, I am going to the cinema to watch Ghostbusters in the big screen. You know, seeing Bill Murray, that it was amazing. But anyway, so as a kid, we grew up, we collected toys. Right. Now you were saying, you know, that Star Wars was your thing. You know, you went out and you would try and get all the characters and stuff for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right. Is that the same for you, Brian?
Well, you know, I was born in 74, so marketing hit the way it did. I was definitely the target for the collect them all generation.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, unfortunately, it's part of my DNA now. If I buy one thing from a series, I am now tasked to get them all. And it's
you're a completionist.
I'm a completionist.
And, I get that.
My apartment is so cluttered because of it. But for me, Star Wars was big. I love Star. I love Transformers.
Yes.
I love G.I. that. Joe too much, but Transformers, I was huge.
Transformers, absolutely.
Yeah. I wasn't into the military element. The whole G.I. Joes, the Action Man, things. I didn't. That never interested me. I never found cowboys and stuff. I didn't think they were as interesting.
Yeah, that wasn't as interesting.
The one thing that I did have every single character, including the castles, was He-Man.
Yeah, I had all that stuff too.
Yeah,
I still have
Mountain with the microphone.
Yeah. Still have it.
Something
still
about work. He-Man that I didn't understand at the time, there was no word for it in my vocabulary at the time, which is now homoerotic.
Right.
He-Man just rubbed me the wrong way. I still Careful. Can't.
Well, there it is. Whoa, hey, that's a whole nother story.
Actually, let me clarify. He-Man did not rub me at all.
Okay, no, but that's that
he
thing.
He touched you in places you didn't. Okay, go on.
It was the same way for me as like with the toys. Like, I was in that sweet spot for that stuff because you know,
absolutely.
Brian was 74. I was born in 75, so
I was 79.
You know, pretty much the same thing. So, but it's like getting those toys, getting that stuff.
Yeah, but Rob. Like, I mean, think about that. All the toys that we loved.
Yeah.
It was the cartoons and the shows. Were just a commercial for those toys.
It was, and
yes,
that's all.
It was
Transformers. That's why they kept killing off Transformers.
Oh yeah,
so they can introduce new Transformers, and nobody was more. I mean, I'm not gonna say nobody was more. I was devastated when Optimus Prime died. I cried.
I saw that in the theater and was shocked.
I was devastated, and it took me. And for years, I wanted that. I wanted Prime back, and I would follow Transformer shows and cartoons and stuff like that, waiting for the Peter Cullen. Optimus Prime to come back.
Well, I think the Transformers the movie, which I think is excellent. It still holds up. The 1986 animated version.
Yes.
And not the new ones because the new ones are lacking story completely.
Yeah.
But the things that shocked me, there was a curse in it. I'm like, what?
They said shit.
They said Spike said shit in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Yep. Half the characters died. Like,
well, you gotta think, that was
what is going on here? Like, I had chills cartoons, throughout like, my body.
Shit.
And then they cap it off by killing the leader. And that's like this, to me at the time, you know, that was the first real shock to the system. Because now we're a little jaded and we know the heroes never die. They'll always come back. But back then, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Speaking of characters always coming back. I think this is a good time to segue into a segment that we're going to call Character Debates. We take two characters from different universes and different genres, and we put them onto the Senate floor as if they're going to be appointed as our personal hero for this particular episode. And, Paul, why don't you pick somebody to nominate to the floor for this segment?
Well, being the British member of the team, I'm going to bring in one of the most iconic of British, I would say even almost superhero-esque, James Bond.
Yeah.
The person who growing up, I wanted to be James Bond. Or there was another person I wanted to be, but James Bond was like the epitome of every teenage boy. I mean, we wanted to be James Bond. The women, the guns, the gadgets, you know, that was the epitome of you know, we want to be secret agents.
You wanted to be suave and have
yes.
all the moves.
Vodka martini, shaken. Yeah.
All right, so Brian, who do you want to throw out?
I should see. James Bond is a good choice, and there have been many Bonds in our catalog that we could refer to.
Yep.
But adventure has a name, and that name is Indiana Jones.
Aha! Uh-huh.
It is.
I'm going to go with American on this one.
See, that's the other one I wanted to be growing up, Indiana Jones or James Bond.
Indiana Jones. I mean, this is a guy, and he's only had four movies to glean from, but this is a character who, again, we loved Harrison Ford as Han Solo.
Yes.
He breaks onto the scene with the scoundrel that we all love, and then he becomes the professor, archaeologist, / adventurer that just nothing stops him. And I think that just with a gun that he barely uses, a whip, and his wits, this is a guy who takes on the Nazis. He takes on everything, traps, and he figures it out. So he uses his brain as well as his brawn to come out on top every time. And he gets the girl, which, I mean, that's always resonates with us.
But the fantastic thing about, I think, both characters is the fact that they kind of just play it by ear. They know what the end result needs to be, but they make it up as they go.
Which is what we
do. Quite interesting. Yes, absolutely. Flying by the seat of our pants, creating something, putting it out into the world, and not knowing exactly where it's going
to
go.
Yeah, that's a great way to live, I think. That's the way I've always gone. But I do think that James Bond has it a little, you know, has it. We're talking, you know, like inches here. You know, like, I think James Bond has a lot more of a want from people. See, with James Bond, he was an orphan who was then trained to be a killer. You know, that's what he was. He was trained to be the best. And yet Indiana Jones was a college professor.
Right, but Indiana Jones, even though his father was present, his mother not so much, he was kind of an absentee father, so he grew up mostly alone, just doing his own thing. And you saw in the third movie, he learned lessons everywhere he could. And this is back in the 1930s, we see most of Indy's adventures. 20s and just before for his early adventures. So this is set against the backdrop of World War II, the Great War.
Yeah.
World War I and World War II. So not only are things happening in his life, he's traveling through an incredible point of history, whereas I feel like James Bond is just a witness to things that may
happen. No, because James Bond was created essentially. James Bond was was post World War II, but there was the Cold War, and what you're finding is there's a lot of the England versus Russia. We had a lot of the Russian element of it, so there was all that, you know, the Brits versus the Reds and things like that, and he would go into these places, but there was still the German element. It was still always there. The German war was always there, and I think that was you know, one, it was very cleverly done, because as far as sort of with any TV show, if you put Nazis as a bad guy, automatically everyone wants the other side to win. You know, that's how it works. I mean, even with Doctor Who.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
Well, that's the thing. The Daleks from Doctor Who were based on the Nazis. I mean, and you can see that going through to the 80s and that, even sort of the late 70s and the 80s, when they introduced the Dalek home planet and things like that. You'll see that the uniforms for the people, because they weren't always in these Pepper Pot things.
Right,
you know,
they were
actually human-esque. They were wearing essentially Nazi uniforms. So you stick anyone in a Nazi uniform, something, you know, that's the bad guy, you know, so the good. So, you know, Indiana Jones was already off the bat the good guy. There was no doubt about that because he was going up against the Nazis. Whereas with the with James Bond, they've introduced this whole element that, you know, it's not necessarily the obvious bad guys.
Here's going to be my ace in my personal argument. Mm. You're stuck in a situation with either James Bond or Indiana Jones. Bond, without Q department,
right,
he's got considerably less.
Yeah.
Indy, he reaches for his gun. Even when he doesn't have it, he figures it out, and he wins the day.
No, see, okay, James Bond has been in many predicaments. James Bond has been in many, many predicaments where he's had his entire guns, gadgets. He is naked, tied to a chair, having a monkey claw slammed into his nuts many, many times, and yet he still gets out. You know.
Okay, so here's another thing. Here's another thing to think about between the two. Okay, so you all have said something about timelines and where they fall. Indiana Jones being in World War, you know, between World War One, World War Two, early, you know, 30s, 40s, stuff like that, and then progressively on to the 50s. James Bond, even though he was created a certain time, is pretty much timeless. There's no set timeline for him because as they've rebooted with the new characters, they just make it more current.
Yes.
And then they bring that back into it. So how do you think that plays if you were to take Indiana Jones, and I'm not saying to reboot Indiana Jones in any way.
No.
But I'm saying you take Indiana Jones out of the time in which he was in, put him into current times, current situations with James Bond,
right,
without access to all of Bond's gadgets as Q department.
Okay.
Think about it in that aspect.
Right. Okay, so we have Indiana Jones. Well, firstly, all right, every James Bond movie has basically meant James Bond's character was integral to the storyline. You got from A to B to C to D and to the end, and it involved James Bond. You take Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you look at how progressively it works. Indiana Jones' character, the Indiana Jones, could not have been there, and the same thing would have happened.
Well, I think you see the Indiana Jones archetype in modern movies and modern settings with things like Professor Robert Langdon in The Da Vinci Code. You see it in Benjamin Gates in the National Treasure movies. A man who is scholar first, adventurer second, and is very low on tech because he's busy figuring out the clues while getting chased by thugs and people with bigger agendas. So with the help of those ancillary characters, because, you know, Bond never does it completely alone. Indy really never does it completely alone. But and this is almost like an argument between, say, Spider-Man and Iron Man. Bond has a budget and an entire department behind him, with maybe the exception of these recent Bond movies where you've seen him kind of striking out on his own. Whereas Indy is like, hey, I've got me.
Right.
Nobody's coming to help me. No, he has. He can't call in an airstrike.
Help.
He's got no security clearance. He's got whip, gun,
and
sometimes a Chinese boy.
Right.
Which wouldn't happen now,
Dr.
though.
Jones, well, Dr. Jones!
I've got no time for love, Dr. Jones! He's got Data from the Goonies.
Yep.
It's not the same kid, is it?
Yes.
I don't think it is. Is it really?
It is.
Are you sure?
I am positive. I will put. Okay. I am Archer sure on this.
I'm back. Oh, I'm telling right now. I'm backing away from this.
I actually thought you were going to say I'm Batman. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say I'm Batman.
I'm Batman. Swear to me. Wait a minute. Wrong thing.
Yeah. Did you know it was Michael Keaton who actually first introduced that line?
All right.
I am Batman. And it was it wasn't actually scripted for that either. It was actually, he was supposed to say, I am the knight.
Yeah.
As in K-N-I-G-H-T. I think that was from the comic book, right?
All right.
But ultimately, he just changed it to I Am Batman, and then it sort of stuck. And I think now Christian Bale really made it a famous line. But still,
we can use Batman for another character.
Yeah. Well,
So what I want to do is, yes. All right. So we're gonna do a little bit of a thing. I feel like we need to kind of make a judgment call based on your all's arguments, based on the show. With me, I have an equal. I have a loving for both of the characters. I enjoy both the characters. I grew up with them. I have fond memories of both the characters. So I'm kind of on the fence. I need you all to sway me a little bit as to the way you feel about it with one last thing for your character. And let's just try something where we kind of see if we can get a definitive, again, for this episode and just the way that we feel in this argument. Character, who would win between the two? Go ahead, Paul, first.
It's got to be Bond. I mean, he's highly trained. Even without weapons, even without his gadgets, he's still highly trained and could kick anybody's ass. He's a womanizer.
There you go.
That's a winner right there. He's totally, like, he will use whatever he needs to. Plus, he is definitely the ladies' man. He is, oh my God, I want to be him. You know, he can get any girl with the except, you know, I mean, yes, Grace Jones, but still, we all make mistakes. You know,
I hate to tell you, but A View to a Kill is one of the ones I have a fond memory of going to the theater to see.
Yeah.
Sure, Christopher Walken was great in that, Zoran.
Hey, Duran Duran soundtrack. But, that's great.
So good. We actually my dad got sneak peek passes that were supposedly signed by Roger Moore, and he still has the letter. He still has the letter, and we went to a preview of A View to a Kill. So that was a cool thing for me. Anyway, so is that what you have for your argument?
Is that all I have? Come on, man. Is that all I have? It's James motherfucking Bond right now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He is the epitome of what a British gentleman should be.
Understood. Understood, and you're going to have strong feelings on that. And like I said, I'm a James Bond fan. I own all the movies. So
what would you? Okay, now let's go. Rather be?
Well, hold on. I'm going
Let's go
to Brian because see, here's the thing. This is what's fun about it. I didn't throw a character into the pool, so I feel like I kind of in sitting in the middle of this. I want to be swayed. I want to know. I want to know what you all think, and then I kind of want to have some more information on it.
Rob
so I
want to
hear
be
what Brian
wined and dined. He wants to be paid attention to and taken care of. Let's send him some flowers.
Right. And Bond is the one to do that.
I want to feel special, you guys.
It's Bond for the new generation where he goes after men and women.
He can't, and
no,
he did.
Hold on.
He's been trained for that. Go on.
To each their own, but they can. I'm not looking to be wined and dined by Bond.
Here it is. Okay, if
we don't have a choice,
we're gonna have to have a conversion adjustment just because we've had so many more Bond movies. So almost like comparing movies that came out in the 70s for box office results to modern movies, how they compare up.
Let's just talk about Daniel Craig.
Let's agree to at least bump, make sure that the comparisons.
Do you want to pick? Do you want to pick a specific actor as James Bond to compare against Harrison Indiana Jones?
That's tough.
I think Daniel Craig personally, up until growing up, it was Roger Moore.
Yeah,
yes, I love Roger Moore.
Roger Moore
was good, but he was a
little
tongue in cheek.
Oh, he totally
so
was. I mean, you watch
so
him now,
campy.
And it's
a little
campy.
I can't watch him now. I just want the fond memories. This goes back to what we talked about at the very, very beginning of the episode. I just want to maintain the fond memories of Roger Moore being a fantastic James Bond because I watched a couple of them.
I was a Sean Connery favorite.
And it's hard, yeah.
Which is why you would really like Daniel Craig because I think Daniel Craig brings that hard element that Sean Connery.
Hey-o.
That Sean Connery had that darker side to it, but with a still, you know, you still get that little tongue in cheek because that's who he is. But I think that's why I think Daniel Craig Daniel Craig is now my favorite Bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, and I think he is who Bond should have been.
Okay.
Hey, you want some Sean Connery? We got him in the Indy franchise. Indy's dead.
Yeah,
scholar.
There you go.
Grail expert. Now, we're talking Indiana Jones, a man who uses his intelligence to start out everything. I mean, this is a guy who knows how to follow the clues. He's well-versed in the occult and biblical studies, as well as practical and political aspects. We didn't see a lot of that in the first three just because of the time difference, the times that it was set in. But, all right, you say what you will about that fourth movie. It wasn't great, but we got to see a little closer to our time, Indiana Jones, where he was in the middle of the Red Scare. It was mentioned that he was a general. He did work with the CIA. He was more than just an adventurer hero, where in those times of, hey, you know, we've got to get behind America, Indy stepped up. To the point where a five-star general says, yeah, you know what?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Indiana came through. We don't have to worry about him. His honor is unquestionable. We don't have to worry about Indy. So go take your, you know, your red-sniffing dogs elsewhere. And just the fact that, okay, we keep changing Bond actors to keep for the age factor. Like, actors get older and we're like, hey, we got to get a different Bond. We saw an old Indy kicking ass. We saw that gray
hair. Yeah, but that was horrible.
But still, we're talking about Indiana Jones, who's, you know, was brought to Area 51.
The Crystal Skull should have been Indiana Jones versus the aliens. But,
oh, my God.
He was brought to Area 51 because they wanted his expertise.
Either
the
way,
Russians
it was still,
kidnapped
it was still,
him.
It was
to,
still cool. It
to
was
bring
still
a
cool
back.
Concept seeing Area 51.
The concept,
and,
but The refrigerator
was bad. Concept
where he
was
hid
good.
In a fridge and was literally thrown miles away.
It was a lead. It was a lead lined refrigerator.
Yeah, but still, see, that's the thing.
So he
we're still arguing.
Died.
We're arguing the character, not the director decisions.
Right, it's the universe in which it's created. You have to abide by the laws of that universe that it's created.
And again, we could talk about the two Timothy Dalton Bond movies.
We don't.
We could talk about Roger Moore, which we can't watch.
Do you
all
want to get into George Lazenby?
George Lazenby, the one that got away.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And
Peter Sellers.
And what's his name? Casino Royale. Didn't Woody Allen play
Sellers.
Bond?
No, Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers, yes.
Yeah. And then that was never an official Bond movie.
But
so it was never
saying,
official,
either was Never Say Never Again. Never Say Never Again was not an official Bond movie, even though Sean Connery played
came
Bond.
Back.
He did play it, but it was a remake of Thunderball.
Right. But, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. I'm saying
anyway,
Indiana Jones, from start to finish, there is, like, the man is potent in any time period, and it shows that, all right, if he did, we didn't see it on celluloid, but the fact that it was mentioned that he did work with the government and CIA, he could have had access to Bond-like resources. And
Phoenix Lighter.
He was,
Phoenix Lighter. That's who he had, yeah.
He did his bit for King and Country, or Sans King. And I'm going Indy. I'm sticking by it.
But hang on, he did have
Fortune
it. He had Phoenix. He had Felix Leiter, who was Felix. No, that was James Bond. Ignore that. So he had Brody.
Yeah.
He had Marcus Brody, who was he had John Rhys Davies' character Sala. Right. Yep. You know, he had the connections. You know, and I think. Wasn't Rowan Atkinson in there as well somewhere?
Rowan Atkinson, yes, he was in the fourth one, wasn't he?
I can't remember. No, not
Rowan Atkinson.
That was James Bond. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That was James Bond again. And now I'm actually mixing the stories up, so that's great. That's awesome.
I mean, he's got friends in every country on every continent.
He does.
The man has connections.
Yeah.
And he's not not on any kill lists. So, you know, he goes to an airport. He doesn't have to worry about his picture coming up going.
And sometimes,
yes,
even though when he's faced with the opportunity, of fortune and glory, he still does things to help out more people. Sometimes.
What? And what does he go? He goes, okay, let's
James
get out of here.
Saves the world.
It's like, yes, let's get out of here. All of us.
Hold on.
Indiana Jones saves something, saves the freaking artifact, and puts it in a museum. James Bond saves the world.
Ark of the Covenant.
Yep, as long as Ark of the Covenant.
Ark of the Covenant.
What? It ends up in a storage room. Big whoop. Saves the world.
Top men.
Yeah, top men.
Top so okay. Men. So for me right now, go the way that I kind of feel, I'm gonna have to pull a judgment on the Senate floor here for this. So you've both made good arguments, and trust me, I am a fan of both characters immensely. But Indiana Jones just holds a place for me.
Fortune and glory.
and James Bond both. And like I said, I'm not saying definitively that it's inches in this win, because but I feel like Indiana Jones, regardless of timeline, regardless of resources, I feel like Indiana Jones is going to possibly outwit and come out on top between the two.
Not if they went head to head with just fists, James Bond has it.
With just fists.
Just the fists.
All you have to do is walk a woman through the room and his head is turned. Indy will get a clean shot right on that glass jaw.
You think Boom. That? Yeah, wait, you Boom. Think that? But no, he's highly trained.
He is. He's SAS.
James Bond is Secret Service. Yeah,
yes.
He is. He's Secret Service trained. He can survive in locations that you suck. You clearly have no idea. So
I do
whatever.
Have an idea, and I think I've said that based on the information that I've actually put forward. I do have a really good idea, Paul.
Yeah, whatever.
So
whatever.
Here we go. We just wrapped up our first character debate. So for those of you listeners,
you wrapped it up. I still don't think it's wrapped up.
Here's the thing. I made a call based on your all's arguments.
Yeah, it was a
bad call.
And I felt
like Ryan had a little bit stronger argument. Now, say that you come to the table again with a little stronger argument next
time. Just because I don't like your shitty beer.
Oh, there it is. Animosity. That's what we should call the beer, animosity.
Well, I think we should put it out to the listeners.
Absolutely.
Put it out to the people that are listening.
Yeah, the people who might actually have brains and actually know who would actually win.
We've got feelings, and we've got years of geek nerdery wrapped up in all of this. So, I think
allegedly, we also have another indie movie coming for 2018, or 2019. Yeah. So,
it starts with a funeral.
Dust off the walker and bring it out.
Oh my God!
Indiana Jones in the case of the haunted nursing home.
Wait, that was Bubba Hotep.
I love Bubba Hotep. Let's not go there. Bruce Campbell is Elvis in a nursing home. You got to dig it.
Yeah, it was great.
Let's, Brian was saying, let's throw it out to the listeners. What do you think? What do you feel about this? Definitely comment either on Facebook or on Twitter. Reach out to us.
And also, don't forget to use the hashtag VoteIndy. Or vote Bond.
Maybe we should put out on Twitter one of the polls, and you can
click
on Bond, or you can click on Indy, and we can maybe put that out this weekend, or we could do it multiple times, just because it's usually a 24-hour thing. I don't know if you can adjust the timeline for it.
I think you can.
So we'll do a little bit. We'll do a little looking into that and see what happens with it. But we can definitely put out a poll and see what you all think. That means you have to go to Twitter and follow us at the number three Geek Senate. Anyway, sorry.
Hashtag vote Indy.
Yeah, there you go.
Hashtag vote Bond. I see where this is going. I don't know how much money he slipped you, but I'm on to you guys. This is the second time I've lost a debate to you two. So I actually.
Which one, man? What was the first?
What was the
one?
First?
The scrolling, Star Wars, the scroll.
It wasn't really a loss. It was more, kind of.
Yeah, okay, shut up.
See, that wasn't an official. That wasn't an official vote. That wasn't an official bill being brought to law.
So here,
Paul, is that the time? I think that's the time. I think we need to wrap up this particular session.
Paul's been drinking animosity again.
Oh, I hate you guys. I don't know why. Why are you even my friend? You clearly have no idea.
This is why we're friends. We wouldn't do this if we weren't friends.
Nice.
Well, on that, though, I do think it is time to wrap up our first segment, our first episode. No, our for God's
just
sake.
Shut up. Let
just
Brian talk.
Brian, do your thing.
And with that, everybody, we've had our first character debate on the Senate floor. We've given a little insight as to the origins of our geekery, or actually, Rob, as you coined, geek nerdery.
Yes.
And
covered full gambit.
For more geek nerdery, make sure you search for Three Geek Senate on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Or you can follow us on social media. Simply follow at Three Geek Senate. That's the number, Three Geek Senate, whether it's your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
And we need you to go to iTunes and please subscribe. It's free. We need you to give us a review, 5 stars if you could, and share with your friends and let us know what you think.
My name is Brian J. Cano.
My name is Bradford, Paul Bradford.
My name is Robert Buxar.
And it's not all fortune and glory, but we'll see you next time on the Senate floor.